What does it profit a person, this frantic pursuit of what we have been conditioned to call happiness? A man by the name of John Balderson wrote a play in which a man dies and passes out into the next world. And when he opens up his eyes, he sees laid out before him more luxury and beauty than he had ever dreamed possible, more than he had ever hoped for. And he found himself in that kind of state of being in which every wish was granted instantly, at his slightest whim, an attendant would appear to see that it was immediately fulfilled. But after a time, he became bored, restless. If only something different would happen, he said to himself. If only just once there would be a refusal. And finally, the monotony became unbearable for him. And he summoned the attendant and said, "I want something that I cannot have unless I earn it." "Sorry," the attendant said, "that is one wish that we cannot grant here." "Very well," the man said, "then let me out of here. I would rather be in hell." And whereupon the attendant said, "And just where do you think you are, sir? Eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, nor has it ever dawned upon a person what the Lord has prepared for those who love him." That's St. Paul telling us that even though happiness in the blessed community of paradise is our destiny, Paul says that we simply cannot know true, full happiness here on earth. But there is a kind of happiness on earth that does give us at least a glimpse of eternal destiny. And whether or not we are ever able to catch a glimpse depends upon our choice now of our goal in life. If we regard things and money, comfort and leisure, passing pleasure, power, prestige, as goals, as ends in themselves, as our life goals, then like that man who could not tell the difference between heaven and hell, then our vision here on earth will continue to be distorted. But if, on the other hand, the first priority in our life is the will of God, as the gospel just told us, then light will enter the darkness of our life, and we will discover, by the grace of God, a human glimpse of the divine life that is yet to come. If, as Herod, we fill our lives with things, and if we consider ourselves so important that we must fill every moment of our lives with action, then when will we have the time to make the long, slow journey across the desert, as did the Magi, or sit and watch the stars, as did the shepherds, or brood and meditate over the coming of the child, as did Mary? For each one of us, there is a desert to travel and a star to discover. And someone deep within ourselves to bring to life. And the clue to finding happiness that everyone is looking for is simply to stop looking for it. Stop looking. Simply forget about it. The answer is you must lose life in order to find it. That's the paradox. Self-seeking is always doomed to failure. The question is not, what do I want? But what is wanted of me? God is concerned about our happiness here and now. That's God's will. And our concern is to do God's will. But what is that? The answer again today in Isaiah. To bring glad tidings to the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted. And St. Paul, in the verses immediately preceding today's reading, says God's will for us to comfort one another, to remain at peace with one another, to cheer up the faint-hearted, to support the weak, to be patient toward all, and to see that no one returns evil to each other, and always to seek each other's good. Now, if we do these things in the Advent spirit of renewed hope and expectation will dominate our lives, and if we do these things that Isaiah and Paul speak about today, then our lives will proclaim the coming of Him who brings light to the world. I come to make all things new through you. This season of Advent is specifically given to us as a time of reflection. When days are short and nights are long, to take a little time, more than usual, to think about the meaning of life. Who are we as a Christian people? And to reflect above all, why do we act the way we do now, only during the period before Christmas? Now here's a story for Advent to reflect upon. There was a city filled with many people who spent all of their time at work and worrying. And each year at this time, as the nights grew longer, a stranger would appear in town. No one ever saw the stranger come. And yet each year, right after the second snowfall, the people would awake and discover the stranger had arrived. And from that time until Christmas, each evening, after work was finished, the people would gather in the town square and talk with the stranger one by one. Each person would tell the stranger her troubles, his troubles. And the stranger would listen very carefully. And whatever the stranger said to do, that is what was done by each person. And in this way, each year before Christmas, the forgotten people would be remembered, the poor people would be helped, the frightened people would be eased. And then shortly after Christmas, the stranger would disappear, not to be seen again for another whole year. But one year, the people became very curious, more so than usual. Perhaps it was caused by the water they drank, and they decided to find out who the stranger was. And one person asked, "Are you the Christ?" The stranger said, "No, I am not the light. I am a reflection of the light, as the moon to the sun. Another said, are you Santa Claus? The stranger shook his head. And then the priest of these people said to the stranger, if you are not the Christ and not Santa Claus, how do you do these things that you do? And the stranger smiled and paused a moment and said, I have done nothing more than you have allowed me to do. In saying this, the stranger came out of the shadows and said to the people, now, look at me closely. And as each person came up and peered into the face of the stranger, each one had a gasp of recognition. For in the face of that stranger, each person saw her own face, his own face, which was a great surprise, except to the children.
Let us pray. Grateful to God for nourishing us with the Holy Word, let us offer our prayer with confidence. That the Church may dispel darkness and fear from the hearts of all people by announcing the light of Christ, we pray to the Lord. For the Lord's poor, his broken-hearted ones, and all those held captive unjustly, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we may always recognize and welcome the Lord among us as he comes to us in one another